Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Might be one of the most entertaining weekends of the summer. Seriously, I love NBA free agency. I could talk about it all day long, and we're going to do it for the next little bit here, bringing in our guy, James Holis. He's the Drive Time Sports NBA analyst. He's joined us throughout the season and throughout the offseason. James, first off, great to get you back on. And as free agency hits, I think it's just exciting, right? The business aspect of the NBA, maybe it provides some teams some hope. You see squads going in different directions. It's an exciting time to be an NBA fan. In fact, I think it's better than the draft, honestly.
I mean, I used to get excited about it, but my team won the championship, and we signed our own free agents, and our core six or seven guys are already going to be there. So I'm not worried about what the peons do. I'm not worried about what the lessers do. Right now, we're just tending to our castle up here in Boston Celtics land.
Well, I would say the team you probably should be following right now is the Philadelphia 76ers. And I know we talked about this last week. To me, that's the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. And I can really respect the way Philly has gone hard here over the last couple of days, not only landing Paul George, but taking care of their own. Philly's done a very terrific job of knowing, hey, we're behind the eight ball. That's the team that we got to play catch up to. And I feel like they're the only team in the Eastern Conference that has really embraced that.
Yeah, but I mean, again, did they maybe put the good lock on the barn door after the horse already ran out? Because just a couple years ago, they had Jimmy Butler, and they basically picked Tobias Harris over him. So now they got a mulligan. They did a great job bringing in Paul George. Which can we say? I don't know if we've ever seen live on national TV recruitment like Embiid did to Paul George a few weeks ago during the finals.
Yep.
So, yeah, they did a great job bringing him in, and they gave their own guy, Tyrese Maxey, an extension. But that's three guys, and we just saw with Phoenix, you don't win with three guys. So it's going to be crucial to see how they build out their roster around those guys.
And kind of piggybacking off of that, let's go back, what was it, 5 years ago now, four seasons ago, when the Clippers made all this hay in the offseason, going out, getting Kawhi and Paul George. I remember the rhetoric, the narrative running around at that particular time. Look, it did not produce a trip to the NBA Finals, much less an NBA championship. So you can't win a title in July. You can't win a title in June. That's been proven, and I think the Clippers would be the poster childs for that particular conversation.
Yeah, man. The Clippers have been the ultimate what-if franchise for a while. And now, you know, they've always been have a little brother complex to the Lakers. And this was it, man. It's funny, there have been clips going around about Jackie McMullen and the flowing, lovely words she spoke once they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George about how they were both significantly and obviously better than the Lakers, this. And injuries, man. Not just injuries, obviously, because LeBron's great and Anthony Davis is great, but yeah, man, just hard knocks life. At every turn, injuries at the wrong time and just bad shooting at the wrong time. And the Clippers poured a whole lot of money. It had two yards in a cloud of dust? That's all it's been for the last 5 years. They got nothing to show for it other than James Harden for 2 years and $70 million. And they just traded. They got Derek Jones Jr. That's what they got after 5 years.
I was kind of disgusted in the James Harden deal, to be honest with you. Look, full disclaimer, my least favorite player right now in the NBA, it's got to be James Harden. I think we go back, look at the track record over the last like five seasons. Okay, so if you're a Clippers fan, you lose Paul George, you lock up James Harden for the next two seasons. I get you're going into a new arena. There's a little bit of name recognition here with Kawhi and James Harden, but the idea that that was the backup plan, keeping James Harden when it didn't work last season, this team got significantly worse over the last 48 hours. There's no doubt about it.
100%, man. And this, it's almost, I guess, damage control is all you're really trying to do, because, like you said, it is about that new stadium that's opening. Is it this season coming up,
yep,
or the season after?
Yeah, it's this season, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so they got a brand new arena opening up. They want some kind of star power, right? And I knew they were in trouble when they gave Kawhi his deal back in January, February, the extension, and then everything went silent, and Paul George didn't fall right behind him. Right, because they've been kind of attached at the hips since they got there together. So I knew that was I had a feeling that Paul George was going to make a significant change. I thought he was kind of just being a diva. You know, he kind of likes the whole pomp and circumstance around free agency. He did the same thing with OKC, right, when he took calls and he took meetings and stuff, and he came back to OKC anyway. So I thought this was kind of the same thing, maybe. But, no, that's he's a journeyman, man. He's an NBA journeyman now. He's looking for a lot like KD. We don't know quite what he's looking for, but he hasn't found it yet.
The one thing that I think the Clippers did do well on, if you had the right situation, I don't mind Nick Batum at 2 years, $9.5 million. There's great value there. The problem is, as you said, right, you're trying to play damage control. That's not necessarily a damage control move. That's something to kind of put you over the top. Great value, don't get me wrong. I just don't know that it necessarily fits with what they have right now roster construction-wise.
Well, I'm sorry, which you broke up for a minute. Who fits?
Batum at $9.5 million, two-year, $9.5 million deal. I like it. Don't get me wrong, I like it, but in the same sense, it doesn't necessarily fit with the roster construction that the Clippers have at this moment.
I think Nick Batum is that kind of player. He fits anywhere.
You think so?
He's a small forward, Al Horford. So, and even saying that, right, we did see a certain team Al didn't fit with, besides another big like Joel Embiid and an uncreative offense. But Nick Batum, this is a veteran presence. He's going to just kind of fill in the gaps. He's low maintenance. He takes nothing off the table. He hits corner threes. He can defend up and guard power forwards and some two guards as long as they're not too fleet-footed. He knows how to play. He's a good passer. So, I mean, I agree with you. Like, this team has a lot of maybe kind of glaring holes and weaknesses. But I guess, you know, hey, you got a billionaire owner who's willing to throw a little money around. Why not?
Let's move on and talk about another deal that went down earlier today. The Klay Thompson Golden State Warrior era is officially over. He signs a sign and trade agreement to go to the Dallas Mavericks. This one doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. 2 days ago, we heard the idea that Dallas was going to be the front runner. Apparently, according to reports, it came down to the Mavericks and the Lakers. Klay decides that the situation in Dallas is a little bit better for him. So now you take a look at what they're going to bring back, the defending Western Conference champs. Still don't know what they're giving up for him, but ultimately, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is a savvy move here by the Mavericks. I like it.
It is. It shows you how, like, emotions and relationships can matter and can make or break a deal, right? Because, from what I understand, he has a player option in the third year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, $16 million a year, $16.5 a year, something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the Warriors wanted him back on a two-year deal anyway. And, like, he felt disrespected. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's also how much timing matters. Last year, the Lakers made the Western Conference Finals. Lakers coming off of WCF. Make, you know, this year, and maybe he views it a little different, right? The Lakers are a lot closer. But instead, the Mavs made the finals, the Lakers went out in the first round, and it's crazy how just, you know, a swing of a few games can make or break a team. He's going to fit great in Dallas. It's also, it's a pretty giant shift, right? Because no matter what, the Warriors have kind of dominated the landscape, or at least been in the talks, just because of the three guys they had and the history and those guys have been together. And now that's officially over. The Golden State Warriors kind of run at the top is going to shift at least, but you know the Klay, Steph, and Draymond era is officially over. So that means something.
I will say this in regards to feeling disrespected with the Golden State Warriors. I don't believe, and we're not there, you know, for negotiations. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But the fact of the matter is, the Golden State Warriors did pay Klay. They hung with him for two seasons where he did not play because of a knee injury and an Achilles injury. I hate the idea that there's bad blood between either side here based off of what they managed to accomplish. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Klay was a five-time All-Star, five consecutive All-Star games before encountering that knee injury, right? And what they accomplished, they were the team of the past, 10, 12 years, right? I mean, that was the dynasty, the most recent dynasty. So me personally, James, I hate to see some sort of bad blood between either side. I thought the Warriors showed Klay a little bit of loyalty when he didn't play for two seasons. And I'm not saying Klay didn't show Golden State any loyalty. I think over the last 3 years, he bounced back. He was fairly effective. I think he played 70-plus games over the last two seasons. I just hate that that ends with a little bit of bad blood.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I don't hate it because I hate the Warriors. And I'm being upfront. As a basketball fan, I hated it because I thought they became overpowered when they went and got Kevin Durant, and I thought it was a weak move on his part, all that good stuff. But hey, salute them. They won their rings. I love it because we had to watch Klay Thompson flashing the four fingers as a as a, you know, when he's, they're down 30 on the road, he's flashing the four fingers. And Draymond and Klay, they got, rightfully, they should be prideful, but they got a little too full of themselves, right? Draymond punching out a teammate, and then Klay with the way he kind of pouted about coming off the bench and his whole attitude, right? And honestly, that's the thing. When a team kind of runs roughshod over the league for a couple years, as they did, let's give them their props. When things kind of fall down, we can take glean a little bit of schadenfreude. So I'm enjoying watching the collapse of the Warriors dynasty.
Listen, I think you hit it right on the head. They got too full of themselves. And we could sit here probably for the next 30 minutes and list every instance where they got so full of themselves that it becomes somewhat unbearable. And I thought we got to that point, their last NBA championship. And I know it came at the expense of your Celtics. But I think the majority of basketball fans were rooting for Boston during that NBA Finals for that particular reason.
I mean, that's what it is, man. Like, the Warriors just, they outsmarted themselves. The two timelines, right? The big deflection point, well, obviously, was that draft pick, James Wiseman. That was the big deflection point, right? Either you trade the pick and you keep it rolling, or and you trade somebody, like even a guy like Kuminga, or what's the other guy they got, the guard?
Moody.
Right, sure, they're good young players, but if you wanted to keep this train rolling, you move those picks and you bring in some certified veteran, borderline all-star kind of guys, and they didn't do that. They thought they could game the system, and they tried it and they failed miserably. So, they won the championship, but sandwiched around that, it's been a lot of losing, right? So they haven't been like the premier franchise the last few years. And again, I'm enjoying watching the house of the Warriors burn down.
Talking NBA free agency here on Drive Time Sports. We do have to pause for a quick commercial break. James Hola is going to hang around for one more segment. We'll come back and start talking about the world champion Boston Celtics big money extension that was handed out today. That's coming up when we return. It's Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios, Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. We're going to continue on the NBA free agency talk. Joining us over the phone right now, we have our NBA analyst, James Holas. We'll talk about your Boston Celtics. As you pointed out when we hopped on the air, they have been just sitting back, kind of locking up their own, and now you get Derek White. You get him for a very long time, a four-year, $126 million deal. Your thoughts on the extension?
It's funny because these numbers are mind-bending, right? Derek signed a four-year, $70 million extension, rookie extension, and people thought that was too much. And funnily enough, though, he's worth every penny. And this is where ownership and the new second apron rules and everything, in a couple years, the Celtics probably look much different. But as of right now, keep the party rolling. We know that Tatum's about to get his, you know, $315 million. Along with Brown, you got $600 million tied up in two players. Then you got Porzingis making his money. Drew got his money. They're going to roll with the top six or seven and let the chips fall where they may. Now, we can be happy about this now, but if Boston doesn't win the championship next year, Boston's set to become the most expensive team in league history next season. And you got to win. There's an immense amount of pressure. So, but this is, hey, you put yourself in position. The Celtics have put themselves in position. As a fan, I can just nothing but love it.
We've got two more teams I want to talk about. We'll first start with the Los Angeles Lakers, who apparently swung and missed on Klay Thompson. I believe they swung and they missed on Jonas Valanciunas as well. So those were two big targets that they were going after in the offseason. And once again, they're the bridesmaid, never the bride. So when I take a look at the Lakers right now, same roster for the most part that they had last season. I think they did very well in the NBA draft. They did grab a shooter in Dalton Connect. But look, you got bigger problems than just that. Okay, so as I sit here and I dissect, why would a free agent like Klay Thompson go to Dallas when he has a more lucrative offer in LA? And in my mind, James, it's very simple. Right now, you have the LeBron and Bronny circus. I don't think that's attractive. You have a first-year head coach in J.J. Redick with constant coaching turnover over the last 13 years. I don't believe that that is attractive. I look at ownership. I think you have Jeannie Buss, who is trying, and I think it's admirable. This is a mom-and-pop shop. That's what the Lakers are. But there's some issues there. And I also think you have some issues in the front office with Rob Pelinka. When you break it down, it's simply not an attractive situation. And to point the finger in one direction, it wouldn't be fair. I mean, I think they're failing right now in multiple facets right now.
You know what's funny, man? We call this the internet era. I think the fact that the curtain is so far back on what goes on in Lakerland is, like you said, it's kind of damaging the Los Angeles as a free agent destination, because back in the day, people wouldn't have known all these things. You know what I mean? It was just, hey, just the Lakers, big money thrown around. So, but it's really hard to run a mom-and-pop organization when you're talking multi-billions of dollars.
Yep.
That's where the issue comes in, and you're absolutely right. Like, Klay Thompson has L.A. ties. It's still SoCal. All this, you would think that would be the premier destination for him. But when things aren't stable, when things don't look like they're running smoothly, when there are questions about, you know, which way is the information going, up or down the chain, those kind of things, I could see a veteran who wants, you know, maybe success and just to have his career be smooth and streamlined. They don't want to deal with that kind of headache. The coach turnover. Sure, I think JJ's probably going to be a pretty good coach, but this is what, the seventh or eighth coach in the last 12 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's the seventh coach since Phil Jackson left in 2011.
There you go. So in the last 13 years, yep. So you're absolutely right, man. I think the allure of being one of the glamour, the tentpole franchises, and the allure of just like the glitz of the Los Angeles, which is very real, it might be getting dimmed a bit by all of this other stuff. And like you said, LeBron and his son are just one of the distractions and one of the sideshows in this circus.
Now, that doesn't mean that they can't still improve the roster via trade, and they may just have to go that route, which brings me to the next team I wanted to get into, and that's the Utah Jazz. Once again, Danny Ainge and Justin Zenick have the ability to make some contending teams very, very good. Lauri Markkanen right now is being rumored, and there's a few teams, the Lakers being one of them, that could inquire and try to pull off a deal, and I think that there is some history there between LA and Utah. But nonetheless, the Jazz, again, I don't know what direction this franchise is going. I don't really know what the end game is. But the hottest name right now out there in my mind in the trade market, it's got to be Lauri Markkanen.
It is. And we know his name's been bubbling out there for a couple years. And it's weird because he's not, I think he's what, the same age as Tatum? You know, 26, 27?
27, yeah.
25, like that. That seemed like he'd be young enough, and he's a very, very good player. Did he make the Alls?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so like, you would think that's going to be who you're building around. Now, it also goes to show how fast the cycle is now in the NBA, where a player like him might, quote-unquote, not match up to the timeline of a team like the Jazz. And I'm, you know, I think this is going to be a very pivotal part of the Danny Ainge lore, because he got a lot of praise of the Celtics. I think he kind of petered out there at the end with, like, the Tristan Thompson and Jeff T kind of moves, and they didn't, you know, he's gone, and then now the Celtics elevated once he left because Brad Stevens. What exactly is he doing? Are you still just churning through picks? Are you going to just start churning through young talent and not giving things time to gel? This is the Jazz, obviously, are still playing with house money, but that house money pot is getting a little shorter every day.
I don't get it. I'm going to be honest, I just don't get it, and I know this might make Utah Jazz fans upset, but I mean, let's just look at this roster right here, okay? So you have John Collins, who is on the book for $26.5 next year. You're going to have a hard time moving that deal. Lauri Markkanen at $18 million. Well, yeah, I mean, I think Lori's the best player on the team. I think it's going to be easy to move that deal. You have Jordan Clarkson at $14 million. He's probably the next attractive guy. I can understand moving on from someone like Walker Kessler. I think there's still a decent ceiling for a guy like Walker, and I don't know where he necessarily fits in Utah, especially after going out and adding Drew Eubanks. But in the same sense, why move on from an all-star like Lauri Markkanen? What exactly is the end game? And I think my confusion comes from, I don't know what the end game is. I don't see the end game. And at this point in time, being, you know, 3-4 years into the Danny Ainge era, you would expect to see an end game with some sort of identity. And that's what would be frustrating to me as a Jazz fan. I don't know what that is.
And exactly that, man. Like, this is a pivotal point. We said at times 2 years ago and even last year, this Jazz team might make a run this year. They're ahead of schedule, you know, for a 3 or 4 week span, and then things fell apart, and it happens, young team. But what are you going to just, you know, second, third verse, same as the first? Are you going to do it again next year? who are you trying to build around? What exactly are you doing? So like, this is, I think at the end of this year, we're going to have another data point, and I think we shift how we look at Danny Ainge positively or negatively, but this is going to be a big year for the Utah Jazz. As pivotal a year as you can have for a team that's in the lottery, you know what I mean, which is a strange thing to say, but it's absolutely factual.
Yeah, and maybe you look at the track record of, say, Oklahoma City, right? Here's the biggest difference here. Oklahoma City is where they are at today. Yes, because Sam Presti accumulated draft picks. Yes, Sam Presti managed to draft well. There's great complementary players, but let's not forget Presti walked into a trade that really elevated the process, right? It really turned it around by acquiring SGA. Utah has not hit that jackpot just yet. That's the biggest problem I see if you're going to compare the two situations.
Well, in this case, the bizarro SGA is supposed to be Lauri Markkanen, right?
And you're moving on from him, allegedly, apparently, reportedly.
That's the point. That's what's so weird, because it's funny, as you were saying that, I was giving you a high five mentally, because in my head I was thinking, a lot like OKC, you got this guy who is, you know, you don't know how good of a talent he's going to be, but you know he's an all-star talent at least. No one thought Shea would be an MVP a year and a half ago. I'm pretty sure, right? A lot of people thought he was he scores the ball and whatever, nice mid-range, but he's fun. But he's elevated himself.
Yep.
So that's my – a year and a half ago, no one would have thought that. And, you know, you put pieces around him, and boom, here you are. If they can't do something similar in Utah, then I guess the question is, all right, then let's move on for him, which is a very strange way of thinking, right? Very strange, because, like, that's the whole point of what you're doing, is to get a talent that's going to be an all-star, that you can put guys aside. Yeah, man, and it's funny because we all trust Danny Ainge in the front office in Utah, so we've all been thinking, oh, they got a plan, oh, they're working the plan. Maybe they didn't have so much of a plan, so this will be interesting to see.
He is James Solis, always kind enough to join us every Monday. James, before I let you go, what's the biggest storyline now? What are you waiting for?
I guess we got to see. I am curious to see what the Lakers do, because we know the Lakers have two great players and some decent role players, but that's not enough. We've seen that. Denver, they lost KCP. They're talking about maybe trading for Russ. What's going to happen there? And we didn't even touch on the Knicks, did we? The Knicks, yeah. I'm going to tip my hat to New York. They've done an amazing job getting Mikal Bridges to go with OG Anunoby, and what they're going to do next. And we didn't talk about the how ridiculous it is. I was looking at numbers right before we talked, and did Hartenstein get $39 million a year? Is that true?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Hartenstein. Did he get $29 million a year?
Yeah, he did.
Jesus. And this OKC gave Hartenstein $29 million. I guess they said, hey, we're going to swing for the fences. We need a big. That is wild. So you're right, man. The more we talk about it, this has been it's kind of a fun free agency. We still got a lot of like chips that it's funny. Bruce Brown, like not Bruce Brown, but a Bruce Brown type. We know somebody that doesn't have to be a star or even an all-star. It could be a pivotal player that you don't see that lands in the right spot and it can shift the series, shift the playoffs. So I'm curious to see who that's going to be this year.
Well, and you bring that up. Bruce Brown's got, what, $23 million, I believe. He exercised the option for $23 million. You just talked about Hartenstein. That's 3 years at $87 million. That's $29 million a year for the next three seasons. Those are big, big deals, man, for players of that magnitude. But I think you hit it right on the head. You fall into the right situation, you're a difference maker from a team that's going to contend and make a deep run in the postseason. And by deep run, I mean get past the first or second round to a team that elevates you. You get all the way to the top of the mountain the way Denver did. I think you penned that perfectly.
Yeah, man. And Denver especially, I had to focus on because they didn't have enough last year. They ran out of gas. How do they improve? What are they going to do? And we know that, you know, Golden State was one of the most expensive teams the last couple of years, and the ownership, like, we can't keep paying for a team that's, you know, out in the second round, not making the playoffs. Denver's not there, but at the same time, you know, priorities shift if the winning is not the main thing. So we know the new TV deal is going to hit in the next couple of years. Salary cap's going to spike, so these deals won't look quite as egregious. But also with the new penalties, teams will have a much trickier time navigating. So, yeah, man, this is going to be it's going to be a good off season, a good year next year.
Before I let you go, James, you got anything cooking in the off season?
We're going to me and my guys at Casual Die Hard, homie Jesse, homegirl Ace, we're probably going to pod about the recent happenings. Same kind of thing we talk about now, but you're way smarter than we are, so it's fun. And yeah, I'm over on Twitter at Snotty Dripping.
It's always great to get you on. Look forward to talking again real soon. Thank you, James.
You are the man, brother. And hey, this is the one time I'll say it. Good luck to you and your Lakers.
So,
I know
pity.
They probably stress you out just a little bit. So
that's pity. That's pity. That's what you have. You have pity, right?
Empathy. I'm showing empathy.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, always fun to get James here on Drive Time Sports. Talk an NBA free agency. More to get into in that realm. We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports right around the corner when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.